I think everyone would agree that we're just living in a very, very odd time. So I just want to take a few minutes today and just talk to you from what I believe the Bible gives us a good answer to living with certainty and uncertainty. You know, when we start any day, I think we all realize that there's uncertainty staring us right in the face. The fact is, though, in a normal day, we just don't think much about it. Because of the routine of schedules and what we have going on, it's just so easy to get caught up in a usual day that we forget that it's really beyond our control. We don't control the circumstances on any normal day. But when a fog settles in on our future and we can't see what the next day looks like, it's amazing what happens to us. And we start thinking about the unsettledness of a future that's uncertain. And it's really hard to get over that right now, because every time you turn on the news or on social media, you hear things like, we don't know what the next day may hold, or things may get better before they get worse, or we don't know how this is going to play out. And new terms have been introduced like social distancing, shelter at place in place, self-quarantine, all of that stuff just kind of freaks everyone out. And so really we've got to ask ourselves the question in the middle of all this uncertainty, you know, what is the answer? And I think for the most common sense answer with this would be this: just remove the uncertainty. I mean, that's what we're all praying for. And we should be, as Christians, praying for God to provide a solution for the virus, praying for God to heal the sickness that's plaguing our world. And ultimately, we believe that God will do that and provide that. But also believe that in the midst of our uncertainty, there can be certainty. And in fact, I think in God's Word, He gives us an answer for this that's very helpful. And so if you at home have a Bible, I want you to open up to Philippians chapter 4. And if you're in our church and you listen to the very first Sunday that we had online services, you say that's the very same passage that we read and studied 3 weeks ago. And you're exactly right. To be honest with you, I wanted to move on and get back to our series and turn back to Philippians chapter 2 and continue as we study this entire book, this letter together. But the more I talked to people and the more I had conversations with people, I just realized that more and more people were feeling a sense of being unsettled in their heart. In fact, it's interesting, because I talked to a lot of people and they're safe. Most of them don't have the virus. Most of them have money to buy food if they need it. And most of them have food that they need. But in the middle of all of that, they're still feeling a sense of unsettledness. And I think it's because of the uncertainty of the future. And so I just wanted to concentrate again on what I believe God's teaching us through this passage that may help us gain a feeling of certainty in very uncertain times. I was listening to this passage. As I prepared for this series, I've been listening to this book over and over again, sometimes 5 and 6 times a day. It's only 4 chapters, doesn't take long. But reading it, listening to it over and over again. And this week, I started listening to this passage in Philippians chapter 4 with a new set of ears and reading it with a new set of eyes. And the reason is because what I came to understand in this that really began to resonate in my own heart was Paul is writing this letter in a very unsettling time in his life. I mean, you think about it. He is in a Roman prison. He is under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard, waiting trial. In fact, in chapter 1, he tells us he didn't know if it's going to turn out to be life or death for him. And so for him, his world is really unsettled and his future is uncertain. But in the middle of that, as he writes this letter to a group of Christians in another city, he writes with such hope. It's like he breathes life and hope into every single word, because in his soul, he's settled. And so I want to read it, and then let's dive into it and just learn 5 things that I think Paul teaches us and God ultimately teaches us of how to live with certainty in uncertainty. Verse 4, he says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then listen to this in verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. For what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, as Paul writes these words, knowing the threat of his own existence, his own life on the planet, he writes with such calm assurance. And I had to ask the question, how is he able to do that? Now listen, Paul was a tough guy. I mean, he endured a lot of things in life. He was a strong man. He was a man's man. But I'll tell you this, even the strongest of us does not like the feeling of being unsettled in our soul, uncertain, when things are odd and out of shape. So how did he do it? Well, it wasn't his own ability. It was a gift. If you look down in verse 11, this is what Paul writes. Paul says, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Now, if you look back in this passage down in verse 12, this is what he said. "I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." What's his secret? Well, his secret is really no secret at all. His secret is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, in a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's something that every single one of us can experience because God has expressed his love for us in the person of Jesus. Now, think about it this way. How does his secret become our secret? It's real simple, actually. And Jesus made it very clear in a conversation he had with a man named Nicodemus. It's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And when he's talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus had all the credits, worldly credits. He was a religious person. He was a respected person. And according to tradition, he was financially secure. But when Jesus was talking to him, ultimately, the most famous verse in the Bible was shared in that conversation in John chapter 3, verse 16. When Jesus said, "Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now the key was that word that he mentioned in that conversation, that one sentence, "whoever believes in him." Maybe you're in a situation right now, I don't know if you've been connected to a church, you've been religious in the past, but all of this unsettling in our world has really unsettled your soul and made you think about things beyond today. Made you think about things that are eternal. And you've wondered how you can have a relationship with God. Jesus gives us the answer. See, the truth is, we're all separated from God by our sin. And the Bible tells us there's a payment for that sin, ultimately, and it's death. But he also tells us that there's a gift to forgive us of our sins and to give us eternal life with God in heaven. And that gift is through his Son. Jesus, God himself, became man, took on flesh, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. And at the end of his life on earth, he died a cruel death on a cross. He died not because of his own sin, but because of ours. The scripture tells us that God the Father laid on him the sin of us all, that he became our substitute, our sacrifice, when he died. The good news is, he did die on a cross on a Friday, was buried in a tomb, and on Sunday he rose from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave, our sin being paid for in full. How does that become real for us? What Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16 is the answer. We put our faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life as a free gift, and heaven as a home. And I want to invite you right where you are today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but God has been working in your life through all of these circumstances to draw you to himself. To right where you are, just pray. And let the prayer be an expression of the belief that's in your heart. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, he was buried in a tomb, rose the third day. You believe that he will forgive your sin and that he will give you eternal life in his name. Then right where you are, why don't you just tell him that? If you don't know what to pray, listen, there's nothing magical about the prayer. The prayer is an expression of the belief that's in our heart. But maybe you can pray something like this. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that you love me and you have a plan for my life. But I know sin separates me from you because I'm a sinner. I also know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins in full. So right now I turn from my sin, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I place my faith and trust in you for my forgiveness and for you to give me the gift of eternal life. I place my faith, my trust in you and in you alone to save my soul and to give me eternal life in your name." Truth is, the scripture tells us, whoever believes in him, God will give the salvation as a gift. And I pray you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today you're a believer and you've been walking through these times, and to be honest with you, your faith has been very real for you throughout your life. But because these times are so unsettling, your soul has been struggling as well. I think Paul gives us in this passage five things that help us to understand all that we have in Jesus brings us the certainty we need in uncertain times. In fact, look back in verse 4. Listen to how he starts. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice." I really think what Paul was saying is in the midst of his uncertainty, he's rejoicing. He's in jail. He's awaiting trial. He may live or he may die. But in the middle of that, he still takes joy in the Lord. It just reminds us that the love of God brings us real, lasting joy. I mean, think about it. The unshakable, unbreakable, eternal love of God that we have in Christ gives us certainty and encouragement in this life. I love what Romans chapter 8 says when Paul writes this. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Two verses later, verse 37. "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that brings us joy. That brings us hope. I mean, to know the love that God has for us can't be broken by anything in this world, in the past or the future, no matter how great it is, brings us reason to rejoice in him. The second thing is, he mentions in verse 5, the presence of God gives comfort. He says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand." Now, the Lord is at hand. Those five words at the end of that verse could mean that the Lord's coming is soon. But probably Paul is mentioning more in reference to the presence of God. He knew that even in his dire condition, God was still with him. And so it's just one of those reassuring, reaffirming, encouraging thoughts to realize that God is with us. He has not abandoned us. Even in this time, when we're separated by this virus, when all these rules and restrictions are floating around the planet, and we have us in social isolation in the midst of this, God is still our hope. He is still our strength because the Lord is at hand. I was thinking about this, and my mind went back to David's words in the 23rd Psalm. You remember this? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." And listen to this. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God's presence is so great and encouraging. It gives us the comfort we need. Third thing he mentions is this. The sovereignty of God gives us security. Look down in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, this is where the water hits the wheel for us. I mean, this is really where it gets down to business, where we live every day. So many people are eaten up with worry and anxiety. In fact, probably more worry and anxiety is going on in the world today than ordinarily does because of all that's going on with the virus. It might be worry about getting sick. It might be worry about having the finances to provide for your family in the days ahead. It might be a concern about your job. But the truth is, worry and anxiety have made their home in many of the homes throughout our world today. And what he tells us is this. Worry and anxiety always show up when we feel like we're out of control. Here's what we need to know, though. God is always in control. God has not left us. God has not abandoned us. He is the sovereign God. And he rules over these days. We may not understand all that he's doing. And I hope that out of this, God produces within the hearts of the people in this world a desire to know him and to come to know him and to follow him, a great awakening taking place in our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what we do know is this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul writes these words, "And we know," listen to that, "and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Here's what I want you to think about. God is our rock, our anchor. And sometimes we don't understand how great God's strength is until we really need it. Cor ten Boom, who was a Dutch watchmaker who worked along with her family to provide Jews a way of escape during the Holocaust of World War II. They hid them in their home. Ultimately, they were arrested and taken to a concentration camp themselves. And she wrote later a book called The Hiding Place, just a famous book that detailed how she found hope and encouragement in the midst of horrific persecution. And this is what she wrote. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. We're feeling the stress of the storm. And I think if you put your hope and trust in God, you will feel that He is the anchor for our souls. I was actually watching Fox News this morning, and one of the people on Fox News said that they had texted Franklin Graham and tell him what a rock they've been in these times and all that they're doing around the world with Samaritan's Purse. And Franklin Graham responded and said, "We're not the rock. Jesus is the rock. He's the anchor of our souls. And His sovereign control provides us hope, knowing that though all the world may be in an odd time, an unprecedented time, God is still our God, and He is still in control." The next thing, the promises of God give us peace. Down in verse 6 and verse 7, he says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, think about this. Prayer is a gift, isn't it? To be able to talk to God, to be able to open up your heart and be honest with the God who controls everything, holds the whole world in His hands, to be able to talk to Him, what a settling thing for our souls to know that we can express the confusion and the unsettledness and the worry and anxiety in our souls to Almighty God and know that He hears us and that He indeed will provide peace that will guard our hearts and our minds with His Son Jesus. And so, listen, I just want to encourage you. One of the things that we can do, I think, to settle our souls instead of listening to more news and unsettling conversations on social media, spend more time in prayer. Talk to the God who is able, who is always able. And what's so amazing is we will come to know that the Prince of Peace will be our greatest help in uncertain days. And then look down in verse 8. Here's the last thing I want to mention. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Now, the default of the human mind is naturally to run to the worst case scenarios, which just adds to our stress. Isn't it amazing how that happens? Something happens, and suddenly we're traveling down a trail that's going to take us to certain destruction. It's just what happens in our mind. And what Paul encourages us to do in the middle of all this is to make sure that we're directing our thoughts on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. He says, think about these things. I mean, it's very, very important to us. And when you think about it, what meets all those requirements? I'll tell you, God's Word does. God's Word meets those requirements. In Psalm 19, listen to this. The psalmist confesses, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now listen to this encouragement. "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So one thing I want to just encourage you to do is spend some time in God's Word. Remember to focus the attention of your mind on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. How can you make sure that you do that? By staying in God's Word. Now, you've heard me say, if you've listened to our services over the last several years, you read this book, you hear God's voice. What we need to hear today is God's voice. And the way we do that is we open this book, we call the Bible, this is God's Word to us, and we read it. We read this book, we hear His voice. Just tell you a little cute story. I have two grandsons. Wyatt is 4, Jack is 2. And the other day they were playing up in Wyatt's room. Jack, the 2-year-old, grabbed Wyatt's New Testament off the nightstand. And Wyatt, being in charge of his room says, Jack, no, 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 that's the Bible. When we get older and are able to read, we will hear God's voice. Man, so encouraging. Listen, I just encourage you. Replace the time on social media with God's Word. Invest a little bit of time in your day. Since we have so much more downtime, or at least a lot of people do, invest it in reading God's Word. Take a book that you wanted to study and learn about and invest listening to what God has to say. Let His words become reassuring to your own soul and encourage you in this life. And so think about this. It's the presence of God and relationship with Him through His Son Jesus that gives us certainty even in the middle of uncertainty. We don't have to wait till everything is resolved in this world. In the middle of the storm, we can find confidence and hope and encouragement and a calmness in our souls. And what Jesus brings is this. His love gives us joy. His presence gives us comfort. His sovereignty gives us security. His promises give us peace. And the truth of God gives us this certainty. Now, there's one more amazing thought that I just want to leave you with today. God isn't lacking for the resources to provide for us. In fact, later in this chapter, Paul gives the greatest encouragement of all. And what he tells us is Jesus is always enough to meet our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And that's encouraging, isn't it? Whatever our needs are, God is able to provide and meet every need in our life. Now listen, maybe you're here today and you're struggling with this whole message because you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with him. But deep down in your heart, you want to. It is the desire of your heart. I invite you today to put your faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for eternal life as a free gift and heaven as a home. In fact, if you'd like to have a conversation with someone about that, you can do that online through our staff is in the room right now, and they'd love to talk with you and share with you the good news of the gospel. If you need, you've got questions that are plaguing your soul and you need someone to help you with, we'd love for you to fill out one of the response cards, the next steps cards. Just click on it. Just fill it out. Just give us your name and an email address or phone number and share with us what's going on in your life. If you've got a prayer request, we'd love to hear that. Maybe today you just trusted Christ for your salvation. I encourage you to let us know so we can encourage you with direction now that you're a believer, how to continue your walk with Jesus through this life. Or maybe you'd like information about how to join our church. You'd like to join Eagles Landing and become part of our family. Even though we're scattered around the world today, we're still a church family. We'd love for you to join us and be a part of that. If you would just fill out that next steps card, that would be tremendous. Let me just leave you with this. If you're here today and you're watching online and God's been speaking to your heart and you want to give your life to him, you can do that right where you are. You don't have to be in a church. It doesn't have to be at the invitation. You can be all by yourself right now and still trust in Jesus for your salvation. And if you want to do that, again, why don't you just pray this prayer with me? Let it be an expression of your faith to Almighty God. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that you love me and you have a plan for my life. But I know sin separates me from you because I'm a sinner. I also know that Jesus died for my sin. And he paid my sin debt in full. So right now I accept what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I turn from my sin and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And to make me your own. To save my soul, to make me a part of your family. And to give me life. Life that lasts forever. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Now if you just take the time to fill out that next steps card, that would help us to stay in connection with you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus. We'd love to hear from you, love to pray with you, love to help you any way that we can. Now, the last thing I would say is this. Corrie ten Boom made this statement, and it's one that we all should remember. in her very unsettling times in her life and through great persecution, she saw God work to settle her soul in uncertain times. And she wrote this: "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. He never fails."